Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn 122, Let All the World in Every Corner Sing. 1, 2, 2. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, you are worthy of praise from every creature. We look up to you as creatures to their Creator. We acknowledge that you are the God of heaven and earth and the vast creation far beyond what mankind has ever been able to find out. Blessed be our God forever. Lord, when men and women find their courage failing and call to you for help, you never fail them. When people bring their sin-darkened lives to you in penitence, you receive them. We ask you to be with us in our worship. This is our moment of penitence and our moment of approach to you, our God. Be with us now and help us where we need help. Lord, you have created us for your service. Our life is meant to reflect your life in this, your world. We confess our failure to represent you to the world around us, our failure to trust you completely, our concern with lesser things, and our lack of concern for the things which really matter. Forgive us, Lord, where the balance of our life has gone wrong. Help us to recognize the temptations of the way and to overcome them. Help us to be awake to the needs of others and to be ready to meet those needs. So help us day by day to become better representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, this is the Sunday when we have with us the members of the Jesus and Me Club and their leader, Mrs. Louisa Chisholm, and they've been thinking about houses, and on that theme they're going to speak to us and sing to us now. Louisa.
This month, This month we've been talking about houses, from God's house to church to their houses at home. We did the story of the wise man built his house upon the rock, which is what we're just going to sing in a minute. And we also did a funny story about the three little pigs. But this time it was the third little pig was telling us about humans, trampled down, tumble round and chew. Which was quite a funny story that the kids certainly enjoyed anyway. And they drew pictures that are at the front. And they've also learned the hymns they're going to sing now.
Thank you, Louisa and young people. Now we're going to sing the young people's hymn number 144, I Love the Sun.
I love the sun.
We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 17, at verse 1. Exodus, chapter 17, at verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hands the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And in the New Testament, John's Gospel, chapter 4, at verse 1. John, chapter 4, at verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." And the Lord blessed to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. hymn number 248, For My Sake and the Gospel's Go and Tell Redemption's Story. 248. John's Gospel, chapter 4, at verse 24. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. I loved my mother very much, but I suppose I annoyed her sometimes. That's natural. She could be annoying too sometimes. She would listen to you telling the story of an incident which had taken place. A story with a punchline. A punchline is meant to be where the story ends. But Mother didn't respect punchlines. When you got to that point, she would want the story to go on, and she would ask, "And what did he say?" Sometimes we may feel that there ought to be a lot more to a story than the part we've been told. And this is true, perhaps, of the story of the encounter of Jesus with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. John, the Gospel writer, tells us so much and no more. But it seems very likely that the conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman was much longer than it appears in chapter 4 of this Gospel. As he so often does, John sets the scene for the encounter. Jesus and his disciples heading back to Galilee, going through Samaria, which was the shortest way, although many a Jew would have taken the longer way to avoid contact with Samaritans. Jesus, tired with his journey, sitting down at the well. The disciples going on ahead to buy food in the town of Sychar, which was nearby. The woman coming to the well to draw water. She no doubt lived in the town of Sychar, and there would be a well there. But she came to this one outside the town because perhaps the women of the town gave her a hard time. She met Jesus there and she poured out her soul to him. Not all at once. To begin with, she expressed surprise that he, a Jew, should ask a drink from her, a Samaritan woman. The animosity between Jews and Samaritans went back a long way. It had arisen over something relatively unimportant, but it had persisted for about 450 years. The two groups had gone on sniping at one another, taking every opportunity to score points, put the other lot down. Samaritans and Jews, Jews and Samaritans. Ardeer and Livingston, Livingston and Ardeer. Oh dear, it's not as bad as that, is it? It's certainly not been going on for 450 years. And it's not animosity anyway, is it? Ardeer and Livingston linked together in God's service, both bearing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and genuinely seeking to help one another in serving him here in Stevenston. No, we'd not be surprised or shocked if an Ardeer person asked us for a drink of water. So Jesus came, among other things, to break down the barrier between Jew and Samaritan. Even before he got into conversation with this Samaritan woman at the well, there's an indication that he was already making this breakthrough. John tells us that his disciples had gone into the town to buy food, the town of Sychar. It was a Samaritan town. Before they met Jesus, those disciples would not likely have thought of buying anything in a Samaritan town. So already, imperceptibly, something was happening to them. The breaking down of artificial barriers which separate one group from another. The disciples went away then, and while Jesus was alone at the well, the Samaritan woman came to draw water. She got into conversation with Jesus, and she kept trying to divert the conversation away from her own personal life. It appears that this woman's personal life was a source of shame to her, and an occasion for gossip and ridicule among the townsfolk of Sychar. That was why she came to the well outside the town, to avoid confrontation with the gossiping townspeople. That was also why she came at noon, the sixth hour, the hottest time of the day, the time when sensible people were indoors resting. She'd be less likely to meet anyone at that time of day. But she met Jesus. And her private life, which she'd been anxious to protect, she just couldn't help laying it open to Jesus. How true that is to human experience in every age. There are things about ourselves that we don't want others to know about. But Jesus is different. An encounter with him brings out the truth. Not so that he can blame us or ridicule us, as the townspeople of Sychar were likely to do with this woman, no, but so that he can help us to leave the past behind us. There were two main issues which were touched on in the conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, and the first was the place of worship. The Samaritans traditionally held that Mount Gerizim was the proper place for worship. They opposed the Jews' claim that it was Jerusalem which held that honour. This woman was glad to have something else to talk about other than her own private life. But at the same time, she was coming to Jesus with a dilemma. Mount Gerizim here in Samaria, Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Where can I find God? That was her problem. And Jesus dealt with the problem at its source. As on other occasions, Jesus did not give a direct answer to the question which was asked, do we properly worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem? Instead, he led the questioner on to a deeper thought, a more advanced idea. Neither here nor in Jerusalem was his answer. God is everywhere, and we can worship him anywhere. That is not what matters. So he moved on to the second issue, the kind of worship which God wants, worship in spirit and in truth. So different from the ways of the professional religious authorities of Israel. So different from the ways with which this Samaritan woman had been familiar all her life. When we read this episode in John's Gospel, and when we think about the incident he's describing, we're brought to think about how it came to be recorded in John's account. When the Samaritan woman came on the scene, Jesus was alone at the well. The disciples were away into the town to buy food. So how did anyone come to know about what had gone on between Jesus and this woman? Surely Jesus must have talked about it to his disciples later on. Perhaps to Peter, James, and John, the three who were closest to him in the group. Anyway, we have to be grateful to whoever was responsible for this story being passed on. It is a gem of Christian teaching, valuable to Christians in every generation, in every age. It's telling us clearly that what matters most is not where we go to worship God, but the character of our worship. We in Livingston Church are in a situation of linkage with another congregation. Inevitably, in such a situation, there comes up from time to time the question of whether the two congregations should unite completely, close one of the buildings and continue to use only the other one for worship. It's always a touchy subject, and we're no doubt glad that, for the time being at least, things in our situation of linkage are being left as they are. But far more important is the character of our worship. False worship or inadequate worship does occur. Worship is false if it is selective. The Samaritans took as their Bible only the Pentateuch, that is, the first five books of the Bible as we know it. They therefore denied themselves the benefit of the insight of the prophets and the spiritual uplift of the Psalms and quite a lot besides. We don't set out to use every verse of every chapter of the Bible in the course of our worship here, but we do try to recognize that the whole of Scripture is our vehicle. We don't pick and choose Bible texts or passages just to suit our own ideas. Our worship is inadequate if we don't use our mind. We don't require to be highly intelligent or have a high standard of education, but God has endowed us with a mind, and as we worship, we ought to be thinking. God will lead us on to higher and better things if we open to him our mind. It hardly needs to be said that worship is false if it is superstitious. Surely we've moved beyond the ancient superstitions and old wives' tales which once captivated people's minds. So there it is, this story of the Samaritan woman who met Jesus at Jacob's well, with its message for us, which is relevant in every age. Artificial barriers between one group and another, one congregation and another, all that kind of thing, these things are irrelevant. Worship requires the use of our mind, thinking as we go, letting God refine and purify our thinking all the way through life. God is spirit, Jesus tells this woman, and so he reminds us. God is spirit, and therefore God is not confined to things or places. We need to come to worship. And every time we do come, we open ourselves to God's good influence, so that not only will our life be constantly enriched, but we'll be able to be used in God's service as he reaches out to others of his people. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 124, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. 1, 2, 4. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we pray you to send your Holy Spirit upon us to cleanse our hearts, to make holy the material gifts which we offer, and to make perfect the offering of ourselves to you. We thank you, Lord, for all your goodness, for the care with which you look after all your creatures. We thank you for life itself, and for all that makes life interesting and challenging, for the way in which you protect us from life's dangers. You guide us in the way we ought to go and help us with the decisions we have to make. We thank you for the friendships which we maintain, the duties which make demands on our time and attention, for the precious memories of the past which we treasure, the hope for the future which we hold on to. We thank you for life's pleasant times and also for the difficult times, which teach us the more to put our trust in you, our God. Most of all, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and his influence in our life, for your Holy Spirit, for the church, and all the means by which your grace can come into our life. Help us to use your gifts aright and to serve you with our all. We commend to you the work undertaken by the church in this area, in this congregation, and the congregation linked with us in your service. Bless and help those in positions of authority and responsibility. Enable them to carry out their duties for the benefit of all. We pray for our homes, Lord. Grant that purity and love and honour may live in our homes. Help people to train their children in the ways of reverence and truth. We place in your loving care those who are ill and those who tend them. Some we know and we think of them now. Others we don't know, but we commend them all alike to your love and care. Bless those especially dear to us and keep them safe. We thank you, Lord, for those who have served you faithfully in ages past and for those who in time to come will likewise serve you in this world. We thank you for our continued fellowship of spirit with them, and we ask that you help us to remain faithful to the great heritage in which we stand. Guide us through this earthly life and bring us to the life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Well, friends, having successfully negotiated the clock change last night, we can look forward now to other events that are coming up. Quite a number of other things will happen before Easter Sunday when we change the clock back the other way again. One of the first things to happen is Remembrance Sunday, which is in a fortnight's time, Sunday the 8th of November. As in recent years, we're going to have a combined service that day, combining with the congregation of Our Dear, and we'll be holding the service in Our Dear Church, where they have the uniformed organisations who will come on parade that day. And the service there will begin at 10:45 in order to accommodate the silence at 11 o'clock. So that's a fortnight today, Sunday the 8th of November, Remembrance Sunday service in Our Dear at 10:45. But now we'll close this service with hymn 511, Your Hand, O God, Has Guided, 511.
Thank you.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.